1-888-805-6477, and thank you.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. At any given moment during the day, 660,000 Americans are using their cell phones and smartphones while driving. That's according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and it's despite that agency's warnings that chatting or texting behind the wheel is distracting and dangerous. A dozen states already limit or ban cell phone use while driving, and many others are considering it, including New Hampshire, where a bill forbidding drivers to use handheld devices recently passed the House and is now in the Senate. But while House lawmakers approved the measure by a decent margin, it did encounter some pushback and may face more in the state Senate. One reason, the research on this issue keeps evolving, as does the technology itself. For example, a AAA-funded study concludes cell phones are no more distracting than fiddling with the radio. An MIT report says don't blame the technology, blame the driver, while a study by Canadian researchers finds that both handheld and hands-free devices impair driver reaction time. Today in The Exchange, talking and texting behind the wheel, the debate heats up in New Hampshire and nationally. Let's hear from you, your thoughts on this topic, what should be limited in terms of technology use and what should not. Call in. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange. All one word. We have two guests for the hour with me in studio, Lieutenant Matt Shapiro, Special Services Commander for the New Hampshire State Police and Coordinator for Highway Safety. And Lieutenant Shapiro, I know this is a busy day for you. I really appreciate you coming in.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Also with us from Massachusetts, Brian Reamer, Research Scientist at the MIT Age Lab and Associate Director of the New England University Transportation Center at MIT. And Brian Reamer, great to have you too. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, before we get into the specifics of New Hampshire's bill and what it might and might not do and whether that's a good idea, just broadly, gentlemen, and Lieutenant Shapiro, you first, how dangerous is talking on your cell phone while behind the wheel?
Well, I'd like to start not being a total downer by mentioning what's going right in New Hampshire. In the last few years, vehicle safety features have improved a lot. Highway safety countermeasures such as barrier protection is getting better. Centerline rumble strips, edge of roadway rumble strips. Our highway messaging system with the electronic message boards is getting better. Medical technology and transportation with airlifts is better. And even in regard to DUI, interlock technology is better. But one thing that has not gotten better in the last few years, it's gotten worse, is distracted driving. It's been estimated nationally that about 15 to 25% of crashes are related to cell phone use. That's a hard number to pinpoint because there's not a lot of self-reporting. We don't typically come across a rollover or somebody who's run into a tree that says, hey, you've got me. I was on my cell phone or I was texting or I was browsing. So in New Hampshire, what the Department of Safety does is we try and look at fatal crash data because it's the most likely data investigations to be thoroughly looked at and investigated. And it includes toxicology results. And what we find is year after year, more than a third of all fatal crashes are related to drinking and driving or driving impaired by drugs. But in 2012, the number of distracted driving crashes, if you look at those that were assigned driver inattention or center line encroachment or failure to yield, was 28%. So it's a pretty close second at this point.
Distracted, but do we know distracted by a cell phone or, you know, a squirrel running across the road or kids fighting in the back seat? I mean, do we know?
No, because we have problems with data collection. At this point, there's a new crash records management system that's going to make this much better. It's going to be much better as far as the exact locations of crashes and the source of the crash, including related to cell phone and distracted driving. But I think even without having that information, in New Hampshire, this has become so broad and across all spectrums of drivers that if we did an impromptu study right now on Main Street in Concord or Loudon Road in Concord or any busy road, I think you would find about 1 in 10 people are using a cell phone, mostly handheld, and oftentimes manipulating that handheld cell phone, whether that's texting, dialing, browsing, or any number of other functions. It seems to have become very socially acceptable.
Yeah, and we've had some deaths in New Hampshire recently. A beloved fire chief, for example, was killed by someone who was apparently texting. So it's really been Some terrible headlines.
There have been some widely publicized fatal crashes involving cell phone use, and I'm sure there's a lot of other crashes that you're not aware of, too.
Well, and Brian, I want to get you into this, too. You know, Lieutenant Shapiro is giving us a sense that it's hard to get hard data on this, although people have a general sense that you shouldn't be, you know, taking your eyes off the road for a long time while you're driving. What do we know about the dangers of talking on your cell phone, texting while driving?
Well, I think we really need to look at what data there is, and some of the best data that exists to date is some data coming out of the Virginia Tech group sponsored by NHTSA that was a naturalistic study completed over the last few years looking at individuals' engagement with phones while driving. And there is no doubt that the visual manual entry of information, whether that's texting, dialing, surfing the web, or any other visual manual activity, increases your risk substantially, either in the range of 2 to 3 times the average risk. And that is a substantial message. I think we really need to begin to think about separating the visual manual entry of information to a small phone, which is inappropriate while we're driving, from the act of talking and listening, and whether that is through a handheld phone or hands-free. The actual risk that we would like to believe from many years in the past, estimated 10, 15 years ago at 4 times, really is not there. The odds ratios are relatively equivalent to 1 and not different whether you're holding a phone or not holding a phone.
So let me make sure I hear you right, Brian. Yeah, I just want to make sure I've got you right. So are you saying that the distraction is the same whether it's handheld or hands-free, or there's a difference?
In terms of the conversation when you're talking on the phone, the latest data really suggests that there is no fundamental difference whether you're talking, physically holding the phone, or talking over the course of a hands-free system.
Wow, okay.
And there's actually some good psychological understanding of why. First of all, when we are talking over a hands-free technology, we are unencumbered by the phone and we lose that cue that we're doing something. We're just talking. And the cognitive demands of the conversation are relatively equivalent. What the latest data suggests is that the conversation length is sizably longer when we're not physically holding the phone. In essence, we get tired of holding the phone next to our ear, and we put it down. When we're talking over a hands-free technology, we talk for longer. With the cognitive demands that the conversation is placing on an individual, relatively equivalent. Now, interestingly enough, it really depends on the context of where you're driving. Driving around downtown Concord and talking on the phone is probably a safety risk. Driving somewhere on I-83 North in the middle of the night, the phone is actually the best safety technology you can pick up as you're falling asleep on the highway. So the odds ratios, when you look at overall safety of phone use, average all that together. They don't look at the single situations of where and when.
I see. So we need to be more particular, Brian, about what we're talking about. Are we talking about being on a lone highway in the middle of the night where maybe talking to our mother keeps us awake? Or
exactly.
Are we talking about a busy, you know, Loudoun Road here in Concord, for example?
Yeah, Loudoun Road here in Concord is probably not where you want to be talking on the phone. But again, 2 in the morning, got to get home, 10 at night, falling asleep, leaving the airport. That phone is a safety technology, and we want people picking up that phone because fatigue is a bigger issue. And the phone actually provides a mechanism that people are using that we naturally use to try to keep ourselves awake. And I think it's a real important issue to talk about. We have a major behavioral issue with distraction. It's not the technology to me. The technology is changing rather quickly, and if we target a specific technology, that'll disappear in 5 to 10 years. We have a major behavioral problem of trying to do too much while we're driving a vehicle and
Brian,
forgetting about what our primary responsibility is to get from point A to point B safely.
And I want to follow up with you on that and hear what Lieutenant Shapiro thinks. But let me also invite our listeners that you can join us as well. We'd love to hear your questions, comments, and thoughts about what kind of technology use is appropriate behind the wheel. Are there certain circumstances where it's more appropriate than others, as Brian is teasing out? Let's hear from you. The phone number is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange, all one word. I also want to remind you that it's NHPR's March Fund Drive. You can do your part for NHPR with a contribution of any amount, 1-888-805-6477. is that number, or go to nhpr.org and make a contribution. And thanks. The number for you to join our conversation right now is 1-800-892-6477. And Lieutenant Shapiro, I'm real interested in what Brian is saying. Two points. The first one that he makes, you know, it's too simple to say it's bad. There are situations, he's saying, where it's the middle of the night and you're driving home and you're tired. The cell phone is actually a safety device, whereas on a busy, you know, city street, for sure, you shouldn't be, you know, dialing numbers and so forth. What do you think?
I think even before that, what he's saying in reference to that study specifically is that the visual manual subtask assigned to dialing a handheld cell phone or to texting or to browsing, that there was evidence of 2 to 3 times the crash rate. But surprisingly, there was no direct increase in the risk specifically in talking on a cell phone, whether it be hands-free or not. But that doesn't mean that the handheld cell phone use isn't riskier. That was the conclusion, that it is riskier to use handheld cell phone use because of the manipulation of the cell phone itself.
So there's two things. There's the brain distraction and the hands
being used. Visual manual use of the phone. And that was for adult drivers. If you look at younger drivers, it was even higher than that. I think it was 7 or 8 times the likelihood of crash when you were engaging in those behaviors.
And this bill, by the way, we should say, for any driver under 18, says nothing. Not a, you know, hands-free, hands-held, you can't do anything.
Right. For adult drivers, it's a hands-free prohibition. For 16 and 17-year-olds, it would be a complete prohibition on cell phone use. As they're novice drivers, they need to not be distracted by anything whatsoever until they wind up having the experience to be able to just drive safely.
How would you enforce, Lieutenant Shapiro, this idea of, you know, in some situations, it's a safety device, you know, again, the middle of the night, you're tired, you're talking to your friend, and that's keeping you awake. Is that even enforceable to say in some situations it's okay and in others it isn't?
Well, I think in this particular case, that's a non-issue because the proposed House Bill 1360 doesn't prohibit cell phone use. You'd still be able to use a cell phone for voice communication, either in the speakerphone function. I'm using Bluetooth, either a speakerphone or an earpiece, or an integrated device.
Just
has to be hands-free.
We've got lots of people who want to join our conversation, and I invite you to join us with your thoughts, 1-800-892-6477. We will hear from you after a short break. More thoughts from our guests and your phone calls and emails, but let's check in now with our March Fund Drive.
And NHPR is here for you every day to keep you informed, to introduce you to new ideas, to make your life more interesting. And it's all thanks to listener contributions. This is our March Fund Drive, and please make your contribution now. You can do that in just a couple of minutes by calling 1-888-805-6477 or going online to nhpr.org. Good morning. I'm Sarah Ashworth, and I'm here with Rick Ganley.
And this is a great time to join NHPR, become a member, because right now when you give, you'll be entered to win a drawing to an iPad Air. You can call or go online. nhpr.org is the web address. You can see the iPad there or get your chance and become a member. Or if you prefer, give us a call. 1-888-805-6477. That'll get you in the running for that iPad, the new 16-gigabyte Wi-Fi model. It's thinner, it weighs less, it's got more battery life, a better display. It's a fantastic iPad. Could be yours. 1-888-805-6477.
And think about this. When you break down radio, it's really just a conversation between two people or three people or four people or so. And you're often just a passive listener. You're a fly on the wall. You're hearing this discussion. You're hearing great comments come in. But what's great about The Exchange, a program like The Exchange, you get to be more than just a passive listener. You can pick up the phone and call in and make your comment or ask your question. You can go online and leave a comment or go on Facebook and leave a comment. You get to interact with the program, and that's what makes The Exchange special. You don't get this everywhere at every public radio station around the country. The Exchange is special, and it's here because of your support, and you can help support it today by calling 1-888 805-6477 or going online and making that pledge, maybe leaving a comment too at nhpr.org.
When you do, you'll be helping to pay for programs like The Exchange, these programs that you've come to depend on each and every day. We have an hourly goal of $1,000 this hour. Now, we've heard from someone today, we've got $900 left on that goal, $900 left to raise in the next 39 minutes, and we can do that when we hear from you. What part of that can you help with? Give us a call now. Pay for the listening you do. 1-888-805-6477 is the number to call, or take 2 minutes online at nhpr.org.
When I meet a lot of people in the community and I ask them, or I say I work at NHPR, a lot of people say, I love listening. I've been listening forever. I can't even remember when it all started. If that's you, if you've been listening for a long time, if you can't even remember what your life was like before you started listening to public radio and programs like The Exchange, you should become a member. You should help support the programming that is so integral to your life. You can make that pledge right now. It's just a couple of minutes. You can set the amount that you're comfortable with giving. It's easy to do at nhpr.org, or you can call us and make a pledge this morning at 1-888-805-6477.
Of course, it is a great time to do that, to support The Exchange, support New Hampshire Public Radio in general. But when you give right now, you'll also be entered to win an iPad Air. We're giving away the new iPad Air. It's the new model. It could be yours. The deadline is 7 p.m. today. But if you're listening right now, well, doesn't that make this the best chance, the best time to call? Do it while you're thinking about it so you won't forget. Support NHPR. Get a chance to win an iPad Air when you do. Call 1-888-805-6477 or give online at nhpr.org.
We know we have many listeners who have their radios on all day as constant companionship. Some even keep it on all night as they sleep. Maybe you're the kind of person who only listens certain times of the day. Maybe 9 o'clock is your time of the day. Listening to Laura Kanoy and her guests every weekday is your time of the day to listen. Whenever your favorite program is on, whenever your favorite moments come on the radio, NHPR is there for you, and it's only possible because of listener support. That's why we come to you a few times a year to ask you to help support it. Now is your chance. Help support the programming that you love from Laura Kanoy. Call 1-888-805-6477 or go online. Takes just a couple of minutes now at nhpr.org.
Our producer Maureen is modeling the red NHPR baseball cap in the studio this morning. You could get that red baseball cap or perhaps pick out a blue NHPR baseball cap. Think spring. Think baseball. You can get that when you become a sustaining member at just $10 a month. See it at nhpr.org. Become a member there or give us a call at 1-888-805-6477.
I'm going to have to get one of those caps at some point. Maureen looks great in it.
And
you can make your pledge right now.
Support for New Hampshire Public Radio comes from you, our listeners, during our March Fund Drive. And support also comes to us from Froehling Energy, providing and installing high-efficiency wood pellet and wood chip boilers for commercial and institutional space heating, online at froehlingenergy.com. And Vineyard Brands, importers of Marcus de Caceres wines from the Rioja region of northern Spain. Information on the web at vineyardbrands.com. New Hampshire weather, winter weather advisory in effect for southern and central parts of the state till noon. Winter storm warning in effect for the north country until noon. Cloudy, windy with snow showers today. Colder, highs in the teens. Wind chill values below zero. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, a House bill that bans handheld use of communications devices while driving is on its way to the state Senate. The House passed it recently. We invite you to join us now with your thoughts. 1-800-892-6477. What kinds of communications technology should be allowed in our cars and what shouldn't? Let's hear what you think. 1-800-892-6477. Send an email to exchange at nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange, all one word. Our guests are Brian Reamer, research scientist at MIT and associate director of the New England University Transportation Center there. Also with us, Lieutenant Matt Shapiro, special services commander for New Hampshire State Police and coordinator for highway safety. One more time, that number, 1-800-892-6477. And gentlemen, lots of listeners who want to jump into our conversation. John's joining us from Claremont. Go ahead, John, you're on The Exchange. Welcome.
Hi. As an automobile dealer and bicyclist, I would like to support House Bill 1360. Two bicyclists in my county of Sullivan have been killed recently with vehicle-to-bicycle collisions. You know, and I have witnessed distracted drivers looking down at what I assume is a cell phone as they drift over the center line. And, you know, a friend of mine was nearly killed last summer when a distracted driver crossed the center line and hit another car head-on, narrowly missing him as car parts flew past him. So, you know, the use of handheld devices while driving is, I think, a very serious safety threat, and it's getting worse. Motor vehicles can be equipped or modified for hands-free cell phone use, and many new ones have it as a standard feature. We do not have to give up the necessary use of communication, but we need to do it responsibly. And, you know, I believe this bill supports that.
So, John, it's interesting to hear from you because you are an auto dealer, so interested in selling cars, obviously. What do you think about the idea, the concern that some have that hands-free may be almost as distracting as handheld?
I don't believe so. I think the, as Brian said, the cognizant demands are the same whether it's hands-free or not, but I don't think that distraction, as Lieutenant Matt Sapero said, is the handheld device where you're entering data and visually looking at it is 2 to 3 times as dangerous. Again, there are situations where you shouldn't be on a phone, whether it's hands-free or not, and that's a responsibility that everybody needs to take. But it's rampant where people are taking their eyes off the road and looking down at the device. You know, traveling behind a vehicle, either on a bicycle or in a car, it's very obvious. You can see people's heads are down and their cards are, their vehicles are moving erratically.
And if you're a bicyclist, you're pretty vulnerable there to a car. I want to hear from Brian and you as well, Lieutenant Shapiro. Go ahead, Brian, your thoughts on our caller's comments, John.
Yeah, first of all, as an avid cyclist, I understand exactly what we're talking about here. But I think that we do need to remember that our data here at MIT shows that even with hands-free communication, active vocally entering information into a phone or telematics head in the vehicle does draw upon significant visual resources. So we are not preventing the act of looking down at a phone in any way. We're really trying to prevent the manipulation aspect of that. So from an enforcement perspective, it doesn't get as easy as we'd like it to be. And we are unsure in many situations of how much visual demand there is. And I think everybody can think very quickly, whether you're using an Android phone or a Siri system, you speak to that system and you look, did it get the information I expected? And you inspect that and say, okay, it understood me or it didn't understand me. And part of this is the technology on voice recognition systems is far from perfect in an ever-increasing area of technology development.
Here's an email from Jesse in Dover that came in. He says, you're not going to put the genie back in the bottle. People are going to text and talk on cell phones. The shift needs to be toward education, public service presentation, teaching people how to be more safe and aware if they are using devices. Jesse says, the last thing we need is more regulation in New Hampshire that legislates behavior and morality. This has just been an easy target for law enforcement and legislators because most people over 40 are not of the cell generation and feel somewhat disdainful of cell use in any use beyond the basics. Jesse says, I will be campaigning to see this law defeated. It's still a bill, Jesse. Okay, it passed the House, but it's not done anything yet in the Senate. What about his point, Lieutenant Shapiro? I've heard others say this. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. People are going to do this no matter what. So let's focus on education. What do you think? Thanks, Jesse, for the email.
Well, let me answer that and then go back to the previous caller who I wanted to thank for calling in with his point from the auto dealers. Yeah, I agree with that. The genie is out of the bottle. That horse has left the barn with regard to connectivity. But don't forget, this bill is not in regard to all voice communications. It's simply, it's not the best solution. It's a better solution not to have the visual manual distraction of looking down at a handheld device or manipulating or entering data. It just seems like it's not a good idea, like the previous caller said. And on the previous caller's point, not only does the Department of Safety support this and the New Hampshire Chiefs and New Hampshire DOT and the New Hampshire Driving Towards Zero Coalition and Injury Prevention Council, but also the New Hampshire Auto Dealers Association strongly supports it. And there was the Transportation Committee from the House worked very, very hard with a number of interest groups, including cell phone companies, public utilities, OnStar, and so forth. And at the end of the day, and ham radio operators as well, and at the end of the day, none of those groups had a problem with the way that this is written.
What do you think, Brian, about what other states have done on this? I've read that a dozen or so states have a bill limiting handheld use. How do you think other states are tackling this? And has anybody done a good job as far as you're concerned?
Well, interesting. Look, first of all, I believe, and I'll state again, we have a major behavioral issue with distracted driving in this country, and it is very much behavioral. Unfortunately, all of our efforts to regulate this don't necessarily have the silver bullet lining we'd like to believe. Some of the work that the Insurance Institute has done looking at the success of hands-free laws doesn't show the promise that we originally proposed. The fastest group of text messaging while driving through some survey data appears to be the 40-plus. We are actually making significantly inroads on the teen side. Teens do, on average, understand that texting while driving doesn't make sense. It's the older folks who are doing it anyway.
Interesting. To Jesse's point. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, so I think we have to really step back for a second and think about how do we legislate and educate fundamental shifts in behavior and our view of our role as drivers of an automobile. Some of our data here really suggests it's not the technology in and of itself. It is the behavior of the individual who's willing to pick up that technology. So folks who are willing to pick up the cell phone are faster drivers to start with. They take more risks on the road. So, you know, in essence, a risk-taking behavior. How do we take the legislation that exists around distracted driving that is very hard to put firm boundaries around and give the officers of the law, such as Lieutenant Shapiro, the authority to fundamentally see what they see, because it's pretty easy to see when someone is highly distracted by any activity in the vehicle, and have the right to pull that individual off and have the risks of being pulled over for that activity high enough that it is not an activity we are willing to engage in the risk of.
An activity, distracted driving, no matter what the distraction.
Exactly.
Brian. Whether it's putting
whether
on makeup or eating a sandwich.
Whether it's putting on makeup, eating a sandwich, talking to your passenger, or picking up a piece of technology. It's all a problem. It's all a fundamental behavioral problem. And the officers that are on the front lines of the enforcement here need legislation that allows them to pull over an individual who is clearly impaired by what they are doing in the vehicle, no matter what it is.
Let's take another call, and this is Jeremy in Goffstown. Hi, Jeremy. You're on the air. Welcome.
Good morning, Laura. Thank you.
Sure.
First of all, I just want to start by saying that while I am absolutely sympathetic to the concerns raised by Lieutenant Shapiro and other law enforcement personnel, it's a problem right now that we're taking a reactive and punitive approach to a greater problem rather than approaching the root issue. And I'm heartened to hear your guest speaking right now to the education issue, because that's really where this all begins. Now, I'm only 37 years old, but I was raised by a man who was a career professional driver and also a private pilot. And he had an amazing sense of situational awareness, and he had me behind a wheel from the time I was 11 years old. I grew up in the backwoods of the Monadnock region. And, all my life growing up, it was heavily, heavily taught to me, not just thrown at me, but taught to me the details of every operating parameter of the vehicle that I was in at the time that I was in it, and how to be aware of everything going on both inside and outside of that vehicle. I think right now the problem we have is we've got technology advancing at such an amazing rate that our education is not keeping up with it. We're not teaching our youth how to have that situational awareness. Instead, we're saying, nope, don't pick up the technology and focus on the driving. And that doesn't get us anywhere, because as your previous emailer, Jesse, mentioned, the genie is out of the bottle. It is not good enough to say, don't pick up that technology, focus on your driving. That just doesn't cut it. We need to improve our driving ed standards. We need to improve the situational awareness education that operators of the vehicles have, and that's where we need to be putting our efforts, not on more and more punitive legislation. I choose to live in the live free or die state. I take the consequences that are associated with every action that I choose to make. I think that's something that every resident of this state deserves to be able to continue to do.
Well, Jeremy, thank you very much for the point. And what do you think, Lieutenant Shapiro? Maybe we need beefed up driver's ed, better driver's ed to, as he said, make new drivers aware of every situation while they're behind the wheel, inside and outside the vehicle. I wonder what you think about that.
Well, I would say fundamentally you have to start with letting the public know that the behavior is not acceptable. And that includes legislation that says this is risky behavior and you should not be doing it to begin with. And it has to be enforceable. From that point forward, you can then engage in messaging to seek voluntary compliance from the public, whether that be through driver's ed or defensive driving courses or public service announcements and so forth, and high visibility enforcement. But right now we have a texting while driving law that was instituted in 2009, our first attempt at dealing with this, that's insufficient. And I could tell you the Department of Safety wrote just under 100,000 traffic tickets in 2012, and 76 of them were for texting while driving.
That's not very much.
And I am in charge of highway safety coordination for the state police, and until last Sunday, I had never written a ticket for texting while driving because the law has loopholes in it that make it very difficult to enforce.
Jeremy, thanks for the call. And let's go next to Ron. Go ahead, Ron. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. Thank you.
I just want to say that I'm certainly in favor of this law, but the thing that really kind of bothers me, going back to Jeremy's point, is the fact that it seems like the minority is always affecting the majority now. And what I mean by that is I drive about 70,000, 80,000 miles a year, and it's just that, you know, to regulate that based on myself, my wife and I have a pact that we've made that we do not text. And that's something that's that goes between myself and her, basically saying that we're going to take that step to make sure that we're safe on the road. But to try to over-regulate that, to have that encompass everybody, is, I think, not only impossible, but it's pushing back on the liberties that we have in this state. And it's just trying to over-regulate everything. And if it's, you know, not to jump off topic, but if it has to do with marijuana or anything else or gambling, it always seems like the minority aspect is always being thrown on the majority. So it actually affects and it punishes the majority that actually have not caused the problem.
So it sounds like you're not in favor of the law, Ron. I'm a little confused.
I'm certainly in favor of the law because I always do hands-free.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I'm always doing hands-free or, you know, if I hit the text, I always pull over. So I'm in favor of that aspect of it. But the amount of accidents that are attributed to this, and I certainly don't have the statistics on this, but seem to be very low based on the overall rate of accidents on the texting or hands-free distracted driving aspect of it.
Okay.
So what I'm basically saying is just it always seems like, you know, if something happens, like some guy's driving, crashes into somebody, kills them, then all of a sudden a law needs to be put instantly on the books because that one person made a bad decision. Now it affects everybody else.
Sure. We're reactive as a society. Thank you for the call, Ron. We'll follow up after a short break. You can join us as well, 1-800-892-6477. Checking in now very quickly with our March Fund Drive.
And good morning. I'm Rick Ganley alongside Sarah Ashworth, asking you to become a contributor to NHPR and support programs like The Exchange and The Conversation we're listening to right now with your support at 1-888-805-6477. It's very easy to do, just 2 minutes on the phone or online at nhpr.org.
Takes just a couple of minutes, like Rick said, and the reason to do it right now is because when you do, you will be entered into a drawing to win an iPad Air. This is the new iPad. It's super light. It weighs just a pound. It has 10 hours of battery life. It's the 16-gigabyte Wi-Fi model. It's 20% thinner than maybe an old iPad you have around the house. So whether you're going to update to a new one or give this one away as a gift, it's up to you. But you can't win it unless you make a pledge right now. So do so at 1-888-805-6477 or go online at nhpr.org.
The Exchange covers topics so diverse, anything from international and national politics, of course, to things that are happening right here in our own state house in Concord, from politics to the economy, education, healthcare. Laura shares your curiosity about the world, and every day she asks you to share your curiosity with her because she knows hers are not the only questions that matter. Your questions matter. That's why it's called The Exchange. Your calls and your insight are so important to the program. Donate now. Your support for the program is also very important. 1-888-888. 805-6477, 1-888-805-6477, or online at nhpr.org.
Rick just said it. Your support is so important, and we are hearing from so many Exchange fans and listeners this morning. It's been great. We have just $300 left to raise to meet our goal this hour. This means we are on track. It is so great to see all of the support for the Exchange. All of you listeners, it's great when you call in at 1-888-805-6477 or when you go online and make your pledge and show your support for the Exchange at nhpr.org.
You hear it all the time. Support is made possible because of listeners like you. Listener support, in fact, is our most important source of income here at NHPR. Because we are accountable to you, not to Wall Street or Madison Avenue or Capitol Hill, we bring you clear, concise, objective news coverage. And we keep that balanced news coming by support from listeners like you. That's how it is done. That's how it's always been done. 1-888-805-6477. $300 to go. 19 minutes left to do it. 1-888-805-6477.
And when you call that number or when you go online to nhpr.org and make your pledge, of course it's great. You are supporting the programs that you listen to, programs like The Exchange. But another really great thing is you're going to be entered into a drawing to win an iPad Air. This is the 16-gigabyte Wi-Fi model, weighs just about a pound. It's a great new tablet that you will love having. And you can keep up with The Exchange. You can keep up with NHPR headlines on your new iPad Air. To be able to win that iPad Air, though, you have to make a pledge right now, and you can do it. It takes just a couple of minutes. Get in that drawing, show your support. Call right now, 1-888-805-6477, or if it's easier, just take a couple of minutes online at nhpr.org.
And when you do, you'll become part of this community of people who share a curiosity about their world. And today we're asking you to share the cost of bringing The Exchange and NHPR to your radio. Maybe $60. Maybe it's $5,000 or something somewhere in between. We use that money to ensure that NHPR stays on the air and is available for all in the Granite State to share. Whether it's on the air, whether it's online, it's here for all of us because of support from listeners like you. 1-888-805-6477 is the number, or nhpr.org.
And we have a new thank you gift this spring drive. It's the NHPR baseball cap. It can be yours with a pledge of either $120 right now, or you can split that up. You can become a sustaining member of the station at $10 a month. It's a great way to show your support for NHPR. You get a red or blue cap with the NHPR logo right across the front of it. It can't be missed. So when you're out on the town this spring or summer, people will know how much you support and listen to NHPR. It's a great conversation starter, too. So choose your red or blue cap by making a pledge of $120 right now at 1-888-805-6477 or going online to nhpr.org.
And supporting Team NHPR, 1-888-805-6477. Don't forget, you can get entered into a drawing to win an iPad Air today, but you only have until 7 o'clock tonight. Do it now while you're thinking about it. 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
Support for New Hampshire Public Radio comes from you, our listeners, during our March Fund Drive. And support also comes to us from Downs Racklin Martin, offering statewide trust and estate services with attorneys Tom Shatari, Jake Wheeler, and Wilhelmine Digmans Miller. Information at drm.com. From Waldorf Schools of Southern New Hampshire, including Pine Hill Waldorf School in Wilton, hosting an open house, curriculum expo, and puppet show on March 22nd from 9 till noon, pinehill.org. And Lake Sunapee Bank, providing personal and business banking services since 1868. Information online at lakesunbank.com. Winter weather advisory remains in effect for southern and central parts of the state till noon today. Winter storm warning in effect in the North Country till noon. Cloudy, windy with snow showers today. Colder, highs in the teens, wind chill values below zero. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup. Today in The Exchange, how much should we limit texting and talking behind the wheel? We're looking at a bill before the New Hampshire Senate that passed the House recently. Join us with your thoughts, 1-800-892-6477, email exchange at nhpr.org. And Lieutenant Shapiro and Brian Reimer, let's go back to our listeners. Jonathan's waiting in Manchester. Hi, Jonathan. Go ahead. You're on The Exchange.
Good morning, Laura.
Morning.
I can't believe all the whining I'm hearing from people about this really simple law. It seems to me like it's a no-brainer. First of all, you need your hands on the steering wheel. If you feel comfortable not doing that, that's fine, but don't endanger other people's lives. This isn't a law to protect your right to text and hold a phone up to your head. It's a law to protect others who might get injured because you are not paying attention on the road. And it's such a simple thing, and you would think that this was this great infringement on people's rights or some, you know, anti-libertarian stance. But to me, I mean, I'm a libertarian, but this is a smart law. It's just I've seen people, and especially young people, driving with the phone up to their ear, and they think that's fine, and the texting's even worse. It's not conducive to driving safely. And unlike the motorcycle helmet laws of years past where people debated it, the one to be most injured would be the person without the helmet. They were taking their own chances in their own hands. But to take someone else's life would be like saying, well, it's fine if you want to drunk drive. You're only going to hurt yourself. No, you're going to hurt someone else. And I do believe it's just as dangerous. I've seen insane activity. This whole anti-law stance people are picking up in New Hampshire is a little bit crazy.
So it doesn't fit in with Live Free or Die, as far as you're concerned.
Civil protection.
Yeah.
Civil protection.
Jonathan, thank you so much for your call. Brian, what do you think about what we hear from Jonathan?
Look, I think we got to step back for a minute and really begin to think about what people are doing on the road and what they're trying to juggle on the road, and get back to the whole education side of reappropriating what our primary responsibility is on the road and beginning to reevaluate what people want to do in the car and why they want to do it. The roads are safer now than they've ever been. And that's partly in response to the safety advances that the automotive manufacturers have made. But we are doing too much in the car and trying to juggle too much. I think the comment earlier in loss of situational awareness is huge. We need to begin to think about education from a new perspective. The vehicle is changing and will change dramatically over the next 10 years with the advent of automation into the vehicle. Will make distracted driving potentially an even larger issue in the next few years. So we really need to take a step back and look at behaviorally what are we doing in the car and why.
This liberty argument came up, Lieutenant Shapiro, when the bill was being debated before the House.
That's correct. One of the representatives came up and spoke at the end of the session, and it was his position that this bill is not anti-liberty. That I guess you could argue whether it's seatbelts or helmets, it's one thing to take your own life in jeopardy, possibly killing yourself if you're involved in a crash. But in this particular circumstance, people who engage in this kind of distracted driving and have their head down, not looking at the road, wind up crossing left to center, and we wind up having head-on crashes. They wind up hitting motorcyclists. They wind up hitting bicyclists. They wind up hitting pedestrians. So in reality, you're taking the liberty of someone else. So I very much agree with the last caller. I couldn't say it any better than he did.
I want to remind everyone that this is NHPR's March Fund Drive. You can do your part for NHPR now with a contribution of any amount, 1-888-805-6477, or go to nhpr.org, make your contribution there, and thanks. And let's take another caller now. Cheryl's calling from Hudson. Hi, Cheryl. Go ahead. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. How are you?
Fine.
I wanted to make a point and back up a little bit. First off, I think it'd be a great idea to stop people from texting and driving and talking on their cell phones. But if you look, if you're out on the roads anytime, day or night, you know that things like speed limits are not enforced. People are speeding like crazy. So I guess my point is, if you have a law, it's going to have to be enforced, and enforced very emphatically, because people in our country feel they have a right to do what they want to do. And if they're not going to get caught, then they don't care. And one can see that on the roads in the United States, anywhere, this, you know, in these days.
You know, Cheryl, this is a really interesting point. And Lieutenant Shapiro, sounds like this is for you. Relates to something Brian said earlier, too. He said law enforcement needs laws, resources to deal with all levels of distraction. What do you think about Cheryl's point?
Well, first of all, I agree with her. The basis is to have a law that's enforceable to begin with. And then you should also have messaging, as was suggested before, widespread messaging to be able to educate the public on why this is risky behavior, and enforcement from the police where we have limited resources to do the best we can to have a high visibility patrol to deter this kind of behavior. What you just asked me about other distractions? I think you asked me about other distractions.
Well, just the idea that you guys need to deal with not only cell phone distractions, but all kinds of distractions.
Yes. Initially in this bill, there was also an impeded driving portion that was meant to deal with other types of distractions. That was eventually cut out of the bill because it was deemed to be too broad, not well defined. It would have been good in its application in the most hazardous types of driving behavior, but I don't think the other types of distraction that you see today have the same breadth as this problem. And I'll give you an example. Whereas I said, if we did an impromptu study on a busy road, we would see maybe 1 in 10 people engaging in handheld cell phone use. Maybe 1 in 100 or 500 would have a large dog in their lap, or, you know, somebody combing their hair, or some other type of driving behavior that's all might also be very distracting. But the breadth of the problem is not the same.
It's not as common. You know, it's interesting. When you see a police car on the road, you automatically slow down. You happen to be talking to someone on your cell phone driving down the road. You say, all right, I'll call you back, and you put the phone down. So it's very easy to sneak around this kind of thing.
I think it's
you probably know that 10 times better than I do.
Well, I see it all the time. I think everybody sees it all the time. Just go to any busy intersection. You can see it happening at every side of the light that somebody is manipulating a phone, whether it be dialing, browsing, texting, emailing. It's all around us.
Cheryl, thanks a lot for calling in. And Cindy is up from Exeter. Hi, Cindy. Go ahead.
Hi there. I wanted to mention a thought I had about, I guess it relates to the public education of all of this. And I see the, you know, all citizens are responsible for civic responsibility, really. And so maybe this should be pushed back to the promoter, the manufacturer, you know, Microsoft or whomever, where they give us messages of safety and enforce or proper use. Because we're being inundated by all these new technologies, and we're saying that we're not being able to keep up with the education on proper use, and I feel like they should be held accountable as well for the purpose of civic responsibility.
You know, Cindy, this is a really interesting point, and I have an email that kind of makes the same point, too, from Julie. What do you think, Brian? What is the responsibility of the technology companies and maybe even the automakers when it comes to this?
Well, I think everybody is on board with the message that we need to promote safer utilization of technologies in the vehicle. And just as the conversation is going today, it's not easy. First of all, it'd be great if we could just educate and people would listen. The reality is we don't. Driving is a privilege. Many of us believe it is a right. And fundamentally, unless we can come up with a way of educating and changing the fundamental behavior of individuals behind the wheel, we have a problem that's going to continue to grow. So while everybody is together and we have an issue, we need to deal with it. There's just no silver bullet that makes it easy.
Well, here's Julie's email. She says, I wonder if the best way to handle this problem is get the cell phone providers to automatically turn off the texting function on a cell phone the minute someone gets in the car. Also, only enable hands-free or Bluetooth to be used if talking on the phone. Julie says, I'm sure through technology, there's a way to improve the way cell phones operate in cars. So kind of following up on Cindy's point, again, Brian, to you, is there talk of this in other states or at the national level?
Well, I was in D.C. yesterday in a meeting in NHTSA, and this was a topic under discussion. The problem fundamentally is it's not a simple detection problem to turn the texting feature off of a phone user in the driver's seat, but not the passenger seat or the back seat. And one problem that I fundamentally have, as soon as we try to combat technology with technology, we give people an impetus to find solutions around that. And so if we do turn off a feature in a phone, we live in a technological world where someone will find a way around that. And as soon as we kind of give them the reason to, we create another problem.
And Officer Shapiro, I'm sorry, Brian, to interrupt you. Officer Shapiro, your predictions very quickly for the fate of this cell phone bill in the state Senate that passed the House.
I think it has a chance. I can't tell you for sure, but I think it's a reasonable idea that many people are concerned about, and that this may be one way forward to a safer solution than what we have now. It's not perfect, but it should be better.
All right, both of you, this has been great. Brian, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Brian Reamer, he's at MIT. And Lieutenant Shapiro, it was good to meet you. Thank you also
Thank
for
you.
Being
here. Thank you. I
appreciate here. It. This is The Exchange on NHPR. We here on The Exchange want to make a special happy birthday wish to our fabulous engineer, Dan Colgan. Happy birthday, Dan. Let's check in now with our March Fund Drive.
And you listen to NHPR and NPR to hear the news and to experience the world. That's all made possible only through the generosity of our listener contributions. This is the March Fund Drive, so please give now at 1-888-805-6477, or you can go online to nhpr.org so we can keep all of those experiences coming. And here's Rick Ganley with more.
In fact, right now is a perfect time to become a member of NHPR. Support the listening that you do, because now you'll be entered into a drawing to win an iPad Air. You can call or go online and become a member of NHPR and at the same time be entered to win. It is the new 16-gigabyte Wi-Fi model. It's thinner. It weighs less. It's got better battery life, a better screen. It could be yours. Get entered to win. 1-888-805-6477 or go online to nhpr.org.
And we have just $50 left to raise here right before 10 o'clock, and we can do that. It's just one pledge. If you're listening right now, pick up the phone or go online, make your pledge. You can sail us over the top as well at the 10 o'clock hour. In just a few minutes, we're going to turn over to the Diane Rehm Show. The topic on the show today is congressional oversight of top secret operations. This all stems from those accusations of the CIA interfering with Congress. You know that the Diane Rehm Show is going to be on top of the news every day. That's why you're staying tuned, ready for that discussion now. But before that happens, make a pledge. Call 1-888-805-6477 or make your pledge online at nhpr.org.
$50 to go. We can do that. $50 in 3 minutes. When you do your part, give us a call right now and put us over the top for the hour. 1-888-805-6477 or go online, nhpr.org. Maybe $5 or $10, maybe $20 a month on the Sustainer Plan. Whatever amount makes sense for you and your budget, go ahead and give us a call right now. 1-888-805-6477 or go online. You have work. You're listening online. It's nhpr.org.
And now just $25 left to raise in about the next 2 minutes by 10 o'clock. We can do this. You can make it happen for us right now by making a pledge at nhpr.org or calling 1-888-805-6477. And as much as you know about New Hampshire, we know that there's always something more to learn. And that's what The Exchange does for you. Today was a great discussion about a cell phone driving ban. It keeps you up to date on the news that's happening around New Hampshire. Now we're going to get caught up in news from around the country and the world with the Diane Rehm Show. It's this block of programming that you rely on every day. Call right now and support it. 1-888-805-6477 or go online as well. It's easy to make a pledge at nhpr.org.
If you're online right now at nhpr.org, take a look at the iPad Air that you could win. The deadline to get entered to win, by the way, for that is 7 o'clock tonight. You have one chance to win. You can do that when you call or when you pledge online. nhpr.org, again, is the place to do it. Or give us a call. It takes just 2 minutes to make your contribution and get entered to win the iPad. 1-888-805-6477 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
And this is great news. With just a minute to go, we have hit our goal for this hour. Thank you to all of you listeners who are tuning in to The Exchange and have showed your support for the program this morning. This is great. This helps us stay on track as we start our March Fund Drive. You can give now if you haven't gotten in yet. Make a pledge right now by calling 1-888-805-6477. You can also make a pledge at nhpr.org.
Every dollar counts. Every dollar comes back to you in the form of fantastic programming here on NHPR. And of course, you have that chance to win that iPad at the same time. So don't put it off any longer. Make your gift now. nhpr.org. Just 2 minutes there and you can do it. Or give us a call. Just 2 minutes on the phone. You can become a member. 1-888-805-6477. Either way, we say thank you.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio. Good morning. It's 10 o'clock. The Diane Rehm Show coming up. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, during our March Fun Drive. And support also comes to us from the Music Hall of Portsmouth, presenting the improv comedy of Jim Belushi and Chicago Board of Comedy, Tuesday, April 1st at 7:30 p.m. Tickets at themusichall.org. And Nancy Carlisle, Interior Plantings of Concord, providing delivery and maintenance of interior plantings.